Good.
This is true. I did try to get a real sheep, but the idea was kiboshed. Kia ora, everyone. My name's Jeremy. I like to party. We've been going through a series of the names of God, and you've got me today. Let's just pray. That'll be a good way to start. Masu Munda, Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for who you are, that you are Jehovah Rohi, God our shepherd. And we give you the glory. May we learn a little bit more about your character and the image of your character, Jesus Christ, this morning. We pray this in the beautiful name of Jesus, our good shepherd. Amen. All right. So, clicky McClicker, boom. You may have seen on your seat a little card. I apologize for those of us who are slightly longer in years, because you're never going to be able to read the font on there. But you could give it to someone who can, so I encourage you to do that. Let's stand, because I want us all to read this. We'll read it again at the end as well. So, rise to your feet, my good sheep. So, Psalm 23, here we go. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows with blessing. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. Have a seat. Normally this is a psalm and a song that we sing at funerals, isn't it? I'm hoping today that won't be the case, or it still might be, but I'm hoping you learn a little bit more this morning. So, first question, and first line of the song, or the psalm, the poem that David wrote. Who is your shepherd? David says, it's the Lord. Oh, I had a hand up the back. Just put his hand up, that was cool. Are you going it alone? Or are you following someone else? King David writes this this poem, Psalm 23, because of his experience as being a shepherd. I think this is later in his years as he looks back and sees that God was at work in his life. He calls God his Jehovah Rohi, God our shepherd. And interestingly, in the psalm, he places himself as the sheep. As I encourage you to do, I'm going to be inadvertently pointing the finger at you as we go through this, because I want you to see that we really are sheep. And David's got a lot to say. So can we trust this Lord that David talks of? Well, we're going to talk a bit later on about Jesus, who's the fulfillment of this Lord, the imagery. He was born in a sacrificial sheep trough. He changes lives, and he's continued to do so for 21 centuries. I think he is trustworthy. Dan gave me a book to have a look at by Dallas Willard, which is called Life Without Lack, Living in the Fullness of Psalm 23. And he says, Dallas says in this book, I'm in the care of someone else. I'm not the one in charge. I am living the with God life. Now, I don't know if we quite understand, but the shepherd does everything for the sheep. If a sheep's fallen, does anyone know what that's called when a sheep's upside down? He's got his little legs. Cast, correct. It's called being cast. Thank you. Wow. You would have won some sort of quiz question there. The sheep cannot rescue itself. Purely upside down, all the other sheep just carry on. They're not helpful at all. It's the shepherd that has to come and rescue. The buildup of gas means that the shepherd has about 30 minutes before the sheep will die and be null and void. So the shepherd has to be near because the enemy is near. And the predators are always looking for a cast sheep. That's easy fodder. The shepherd also does this, marks every sheep that belongs to him. I've been reading a book, and one of the shepherd in this book talks about when he got his very first flock, and he had his friend sitting looking at this beautiful pasture and all these sheep now that were his, and his friend says to him, "Well, now they're yours, you have to mark them." And so every single one of those sheep that day, he engraved with his knife in their ear his initials. He said it was just as painful for him as it was for these sheep, but now they were his. He knew which sheep were his. Next line in this poem is, "I shall not want," or "I lack nothing." What a beautiful, that's a beautiful sheep image of contentment there, isn't it? It doesn't mean we'll never be in trouble or suffer or go through pain. No, it doesn't. It's about contentment. It's about wholeness. One of the names we're going to journey on is Jehovah Shalom. God is our peace. Now the sheep needs a shepherd that's always going to be around and look after them. The book that I was sharing about before was by a guy called Philip Keller, and his book's called A Shepherd's Look at Psalm 23. He talks about a farm that was next to him, and it was neglected. It was dry. He hardly ever saw the shepherd. He really felt awful for those sheep. The sheep would come up to the fence and just be longingly looking over the fence, this green, beautiful pasture where these sheep were full and healthy and well. And he just remembers that hungry, wanting look from these sheep. Paul says that we should be content in all circumstances, in Philippians 4, wherever you are, whoever you are, because the welfare of the sheep depend entirely on the shepherd, right? The sheep can't do anything for themselves. I hope you're making some connection with yourself in here. Sheep like the same old thing, the same ground, no change. That's what they like. Then there can be shalom, all is well. Matthew 6:33 says this, "Seek first, not my own stuff, not the greener pasture, but the kingdom of God and his righteousness," and then everything else is added when we do that first. The next line in our psalm is, "He makes me lie down in green pastures." The first time for me this became a reality was when I heard Sandy Gallen talk about a head injury she had. She got hit on her bike, and she talked about how she was made to lie down in that time. It was very difficult for her. I'd just come back from the States doing summer camps, and every year at the end of our summer camp, for about a week, I would be bedridden. I wouldn't be able to walk, wouldn't be able to talk. I was just laying flat. I was made to lie down because I'd put so much energy and effort. It was completely unbalanced in my life. And I was made to lie down, made to rest. Sheep need so much attention. They might be one of the stupidest animals on the planet. And here we are being sheep. David's saying, you know what? I'm a sheep. If sheep are left to their own devices, they run at the sound of anything, including themselves. They are not smart. But when the shepherd's there, they feel safe. Now, there's four reasons why a sheep is not content and will not lie down. The first is fear. If there's any danger, they are deathly afraid of anything that moves, any predators, anything unusual, rustlers. Because the opposite of worry is peace, isn't it? So if there's any fear, they cannot be feeling content. Flies, those pesky little flies, parasites, insects, annoying bugs, any of that stuff. Those little things that bug will make the sheep will not be able to lie down. It's interesting, they keep us up at night too, don't they? Friction is another thing. Friction between others. If a you has beef with another you, see what I did there? There can't be any resting. They can't seem to get over it. The shepherd has to stand in. Makes me think of the gossip train or the those little things that we just can't seem to forgive. And Paul says, make sure you do before you take communion, because there's no contentment until things are sorted. And the last is food. I'm one of those people that gets hangry. Anyone else? Do I see any hands? Nice. Food. Sheep will not lay down unless they are full. They must be full. They'll keep eating, but if they are not full, they will never be able to lie down. Interesting. Philip Keller tells this really awesome story about a beautiful ewe that he had. It was gorgeous. He said that the wool was amazing. She had bright eyes. I don't know what that means in a sheep, but apparently that's great. Would produce strong lambs. Everything was wonderful about her, except for one thing. She was never content. He said, what does he call them? He called her a fence crawler. She would look for a weakness in his pasture and try and get through it. And even if there wasn't one, she'd get stuck in the fence trying to get to the other side. This is someone who really cared for his sheep. And here she is. She would often get through and he'd find her somewhere else and bring her back. And he could deal with that. He could deal with that. But it got to the point where she was leading others. Others were following her through the fence, and her lambs would always take after her. Now, he had heard from other shepherds that there's a way you can remedy this. And he tried it. And it's breaking the legs of the sheep. He said it was the hardest thing he ever had to do. Imagine that, your beautiful sheep. So he broke the legs of this sheep. Now all of a sudden, and this image shows it, he would have to carry that sheep around. Every time they moved pastures, if the sun was shining in one place, he would have to carry her. He had to feed her, he had to bring fresh grass to her. He had to bring water to her. He had to bring the lambs to her. He had to do everything for this sheep. He made her lie down. When she was restored back to full health, as he did every day, she became completely reliant on him. They bonded like they had never bonded before, and now when healed, she followed him anywhere he went. What a beautiful image. I feel like I was one of those sheep. Sheep cannot help themselves. And sheep need to learn to trust the shepherd in the process of healing. Jehovah Rapha is another name we'll be looking at. God, our healer. Next line. Excuse me. I hope you got that online. He leads me beside the still waters. Drinking from my first century canteen. Excuse me. Sheep get water from three places. Dew. Surprisingly, still something in there. Surprisingly, sheep sheep can last for up to 2 weeks just getting dew off the grass. But it does mean they have to get up very early in the morning, young people. His mercies are new every morning, not every afternoon. another place sheep get water from is caverns. Now this, especially in the African continent, they're very deep caverns with these pathways that wind down. It's dark. It's pretty ghostly. And the sheep are terrified in the dark. The shepherd in these countries would lead the sheep down, and then at the bottom would be a well of water. And the shepherd would remove his robes, hop into the water, freezing cold, and bail it out for the sheep. Because if the sheep go in the water, meow, meow, they're not brilliant swimmers, and wool doesn't float. So the shepherd would do all of this work just for the sheep to get water. The last way, which is more common for us, is streams and springs. Now, as I said, sheep don't float. They only drink from still water. So the shepherd would dig a channel from the river, from the spring, and create a pool where the sheep could drink from peacefully and from the still water. Otherwise, they'd just walk straight in and keep going. Now, I heard a story that was quite interesting from one of the books I read, and it was about the shepherd would always take his sheep on the same journey throughout the year, and there was a beautiful mountain spring that he knew of, that the sheep knew of, and they would head that direction. Well, he was leading the way and turned around, and a whole group of them had just stopped. He was like, I wonder what's going on. Came back, and they were drinking out of a puddle that was basically full of insects, urine. It was disgusting. And they had settled for that as their source of water. I think it's quite interesting that they had stopped short of what the shepherd had in store for them and decided not to follow. Interestingly, every biography I've read of any famous Christian or missionary, they always talk about faithfully spending time in the morning with their shepherd, with the good shepherd, Jesus. And we call that quiet time, don't we? He leads me beside still waters. You see, the shepherd provides everything. Jehovah Jireh, another name we'll be looking at. God, our provider. He restores my soul, the next line in Psalm 23. In seasons of moving from winter to spring, the flocks are moved to higher ground. And as the snow melts, the grass underneath it is the most nutritious. It's delicious, I hear. I haven't actually tried it. On this journey, it can take several weeks, and the shepherd always checks ahead the spots of grazing, finds the easiest route, the dangers, all those sorts of things. When a spot is found along the way, he'll build a fold, and you'll see an image here where the shepherd has built a makeshift fold. There's one way in, one way out. And every night the shepherd would lay there as the gate to the fold. It's a beautiful image. Dallas Willard says, "The broken depths of my soul are healed and reintegrated in a life in union with God. A life in all its fullness." John 10 again. You see, the shepherd protects the sheep. There is always safety in the presence of the shepherd. The next line. We're getting there. Hope everyone's still with me. He leads me in the paths of righteousness. Jehovah Tsidkenu. Thank you, Adam. For his name's sake, not Adam's name's sake. Jehovah Rohi. Now the shepherd checks ahead for the new pastures, as we've said. He finds the right way to go. He leads the sheep. And every night as they're heading into this fold, he counts the sheep. Not only does he count them, he uses his staff across the top. And as they go underneath the staff, it flicks the bugs out of the wool. It's actually quite impressive how it works. He'll check them for disease, for injury, all of those sorts of things. Another beautiful image. Because every sheep is precious to the shepherd. Now we know in the story of the 99 that the good shepherd goes after that one sheep that wanders. And I remember reading in one of the books about this happening to a shepherd who was out looking for the sheep at night, pouring down with rain, just horrendous conditions, but would not stop until he found the sheep. And he describes the sense of joy he has when he does eventually find this sheep, puts it over his shoulders, brings it back, and then the shepherd can rest, right? In that place where he should be, in the gate. Just amazing. Now, sheep are much better led than driven. When you drive sheep, they can cause chaos. They can start veering off in different directions. They end up in ditches, or they just stop. When led, they follow without complaint. They're devoted to the shepherd, trusting his every move. And interestingly, the Hebrew word for righteousness is the same word used for straight. I think that is a beautiful image too. The condition of the sheep reflect the shepherd. That's a challenge, isn't it? Are we reflecting the shepherd? The next line, even though, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. I always think of my mum when I read this psalm, because her advice to me at a young age was, if you're going through hell, don't stop. It says through, right? Keep walking through. Don't just stop there and go, oh, this is nice. No, just keep walking, keep moving. Sheep have to move from place to place. Otherwise, they will die. They cannot stay in the same place. That's tough for us, because sheep are comfortable in the same place with the same things, doing the same habits. The way over the mountain is always through the valley. It's the quickest, it's the best, it's the safest, it's where the water is, it's where growth is. There is less light, but the Lord leads. The sheep are not alone when they're with the shepherd. And so they can walk through. But the shepherd always leads sheep to higher ground. We've got a couple more. Your rod and your staff. It's my little rod when I'm whittled. I thought about throwing it, but then I hadn't done the Rams form for that one, so just leave it there for a moment. No problem. The staff. Jehovah Nissi. They comfort me. Last week, when Colleen spoke about Jehovah Nissi, she talks about Moses holding up the staff, right? How powerful that was. The banner. The banner, it's such a great image. Now, with a shepherd, when he taps the ground, the sheep hear that, whether it's through the vibrations or it travels quite a distance. And I hear that even if the sheep can't see, that noise means come to me. Wherever you are, it's like blowing a whistle as a teacher. Come to me. Boom. I feel like Jesus did that when he had the disciples, right? He just stood there. Come to me. And they did. Oh, yeah, okay. It's comforting. It's guiding. The sheep then know he's around. Sometimes there's a hook on the staff, and you would have seen imagery of that. That was used for bonding lambs and sheep. They would hook them and bring them together if they were having some issues there. I don't know any parents that have had issues with their children, but maybe this is an option. I'm taking this home. It's used to rescue. It's used to guide. The staff is so good. It's used to lead the way. It's used to correct. And here's the most beautiful image. When a shepherd rests his staff on the sheep as they walk along, it's called walking hand in hand with a sheep. I think that's just beautiful, isn't it? As we go along, feeling the presence of the shepherd. Now the rod, slightly different. I did a little bit of research. It looks like it's kind of a boomerang, so I think that's best for throwing. Ken, I won't throw this, but I was looking at you when I was thinking it. It's shorter. The shepherd definitely knows how to use this one. They probably had a few. David would have had a sling as well, and that would have been useful in a similar kind of idea. Used on enemies, right? Often thrown within distance to scare, like, hey, if you come any closer, we're going to get it on. It's going to be trouble time. It's going to be a rumble in the Bronx. It can... It's also used as a warning, right? Don't come any closer. Can be used to hit from a distance. But also for the sheep. I think the shepherd, I was doing a bit of reading, they would use it if a shepherd was getting too close to the edge of something, this would be biffed and very accurately to the sheep, would know, oh, no, don't go that way, watch out. Or if there's poisonous plants around, the shepherd would use this to hit those as a warning for the sheep. Because the shepherd knows the sheep, right? And the shepherd knows which ones are more trouble than others. Thinking about you then, Rob. The next line in our psalm, you prepare a table in the presence of my enemy. I didn't quite understand this one until I read Philip Keller's book from a shepherd's point of view. Now, the table's the place where they would eat. Often a plateau at the top of a hill, beautiful place. Nutrients obviously were there, the snow had been, the grass was the best stuff to eat. But it's also the place where the enemies would be because, well, they know we're having lamb for dinner. In the Middle East, one of the animals that would be quite an issue for sheep was the viper, a snake. For two reasons. One is they would dig holes, and so the sheep just, you know, wandering around aimlessly, as we do, would often break a leg or something if they got their little hoofy thing stuck in the stuck in a hole there. The other reason was the vipers, well, could attack, but often just scared the sheep. I don't know, my wife's incredibly scared of snakes, and I'm sure that would scare her. I didn't show an image. That's for you, Pom. And then the sheep obviously wouldn't be able to lie down, wouldn't be able to rest. We'll talk a little bit about this into the next section. Because the shepherd goes ahead of the sheep, right? Now, the next line in our poem is this. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows with blessing. One of the things that an experienced shepherd would have is a little pouch here. Here's my rendition. Got all sorts of things in here. I grabbed some beans from out the front. Thanks, they're delicious. Things that a shepherd might have in here, a bit of oil. I actually found in the garage some holy land. This is from all the way from Israel. Don't know, we've got some medication in here. Sure, they wouldn't have had that, but hand sanitizer, important. Bit of rosemary, bit of lip balm. Here we go, am I doing it right? Oil. Oil is one of those things that is incredibly helpful for the shepherd. We just talked about the vipers. What the shepherd would do as he goes before is get the oil, and he'd make his little mixture, and I've got some rosemary in here, and mix it together, and he would make a circle around the holes that the vipers had left, or that the vipers were in. And here's the imagery that's beautiful. It's one, the vipers didn't like it. They'd get their little heads out and go, nope, not going any further. The sheep would also smell it, so they would know where the holes were. But here's this image of eating at a table when the enemy is present. The enemy has no power. Here it is with its little head, but the sheep would continue to eat and be comforted, knowing that the shepherd was all over it. There's two more things that oil is useful for. The biggest enemy of the sheep is the fly. And so the oil, the shepherd would have a special concoction made up, would rub it on the sheep, and flies would be repelled by that. The last one is sheep have a pecking order. So troublesome rams would often bang into each other, or trees, or whatever. Excuse me. They would fight, cause all sorts of damage on themselves and others. What a mess. But the shepherd would put oil on the rams, and then when they hit each other, they'd just slide off. No friction. I just think that's amazing. When we come under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, guess what? All that stuff kind of flies away. It means those little bickerings, those little things can fade as we put our focus where it should be. The shepherd prepares a way. Last one. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. El Olam. My mum thinks that goodness and mercy are the good shepherd's sheepdogs, because they follow him. I think she's probably onto something there. How great that image. The Amplified Version says, throughout all my days. And I love that because it's now, right now, not just forever. Oh, that's going to be a while. Can't wait to get there. It's right now and here and in the future. This name for God, El Olam, it means everlasting God, without beginning or end. Means for a long time, always and forever God. He will never let me go, eternally. Where the shepherd is, the sheep are safe. The sheep must trust the shepherd, right? Joy is found, peace is found, wholeness, provision, hope, contentment, safety, identity. It is all found in the good shepherd, because the shepherd never leaves the sheep. Just going to make a quick connection to this shepherd, the good shepherd. John 10. As we've found, and this is the third name, that each of these names point directly to the person of Jesus Christ, the fulfillment of these names of God. Jesus says in John 10, and it's a beautiful passage, feel free to read it. I am the gate. Remember the shepherd lying down there? Jesus is the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. And he also says a bit later on, excuse me, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. I want to show you a very short 2-minute clip. It's of some people trying to call sheep. Let's see how well that goes for them. Oh, it does work.
One more time.
Tick 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 t
Quite a powerful image, isn't it? Do we know the shepherd's voice? I wonder. Here's my last slide, just filling in all of those blanks. Is Jesus your shepherd? When you belong to him, he is trustworthy. He's trustworthy if you don't belong to him. He will provide everything you need, not everything you want. Let's make a distinction there. He promises to protect us. Do we reflect him well? He faithfully leads us through the dark places. I can attest to that. He knows your name and everything about you. He goes ahead to prepare a way, and he promises never to leave us. That's the shepherd I want to follow. If we keep our eyes on Jesus, we will find peace and contentment. I just wonder if we can stand and read Psalm 23 again through some slightly different eyes, and then we'll finish up. Let's read it. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows with blessing. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. I'll just pray while you're standing. Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for all these powerful names that we call you Father, and thank you for sending your Son Jesus to be those names. We thank you that Jesus is the Good Shepherd. And I pray we would recommit our lives to him, the one who leads us, who guides us, who is strong, who we need to look to for our provision. He is good. And his mercies endure forever. I thank you for everyone here, that we are sheep. And we need to follow you. I pray this in Jesus' powerful shepherd-like name. Amen. Amen. Awesome. Thank you, Colleen.
Thank you. I believe the Loop staff are heading off on a retreat this afternoon. Yep, after you leave, you will lead them. May you lead them in paths of righteousness. So there we go. We have had